I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. 40 years ago today, President Lyndon Johnson stood in the White House Rose Garden and made a historic announcement. He nominated Thurgood Marshall to the U.S. Supreme Court, the first ever African-American justice. In this 1977 interview with Ed Edwin, Marshall remembers calling his wife from the Oval Office to tell her the news.
So we called her, and I said, got her on the phone. I said, "Sissy, are you sitting down?" She said, "No." I said, "Well, you better sit down." And she did. And then I beckoned to the president. The president said, "Sissy, this is Lyndon Johnson." She said, "Yes, Mr. President." He said, "I just put your husband on the Supreme Court." And Sissy said, "I sure am glad I'm sitting down." And then he said, very interesting, he said, "I guess this is the end of our friendship."
Again, that was former Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall. Harvard Law Professor Randall Kennedy clerked for Marshall in 1983 and got to know him personally. Professor Kennedy, welcome.
Thank you very much.
So that is a really sweet moment, but it also ends somewhat ominously because the Supreme Court often puts checks and balances on the executive. What did that moment say to you?
Well, first of all, it was a historic moment, and it was a great moment in American history because there has been no person in the history of the United States who more deserved to be put on the Supreme Court than Thurgood Marshall.
What was he like? You clerking for him, you getting to know him as a person. What was he like as a person?
Well, he was a very complicated man, and as a boss, he was very exacting. He wanted the work done well and up to his standards, and he had very high standards. At the same time, he was a great person to work for. He had known all of the great figures throughout his adult life. And so he liked to talk. He was very willing to share his impressions of people with you. I should add one other thing. I grew up in a household in which Thurgood Marshall his name figured very prominently. My father saw Thurgood Marshall argue a case in 1948 in Columbia, South Carolina, and referred to Marshall very frequently. And so I got to work for a person who had been a longtime hero of mine.
Given that your father venerated this man, did he ever get a chance to meet Thurgood Marshall?
He certainly did. On the last day that I worked for Justice Marshall, I invited my father to the Supreme Court, and Justice Marshall very graciously invited my father back to his chambers, and they sat down and they talked, and my father talked about what an inspiring thing it had been to see Thurgood Marshall argue in the United States Court of Appeals in 1948. It was one of the last so-called white primary cases until relatively recently in the South. The Democratic Party was closed to black voters. There were Democratic Party primaries in which blacks were not allowed to vote. Thurgood Marshall helped change all of that. My father saw the last of the white primary cases. And one thing he mentioned, for instance, was how when Marshall was in the courtroom, it was quite clear that everybody, including the judges, recognized him as being the outstanding lawyer in the courtroom. Indeed, they called him Mr. Marshall, and this was at a time in which black men were not typically referred to as Mr.
You have said that he liked to talk, and there's apparently a story about the building of a school for black nurses. Can you tell me about that?
One of the stories he told was as follows. He was making the point that there are various ways of getting things done. And he talked about how once he was getting ready to sue a state government in the Deep South because the state government had a school for white nurses but no school for black nurses. And he talked to the governor of the state, and the governor said, "Listen, Mr. Marshall, I tell you what, I'll promise to get a school for black nurses right away, but you've got to promise me that you won't bring suit. Now, I'm telling you, if I can get you a school for black nurses right away, do I have your promise that you won't bring suit?" So Justice Marshall said, "Okay, if you can get a school for me right away, I won't sue." Immediately, the governor called a press conference and beckoned the reporters and said, "You know, I just have seen the most terrible thing. I went into the school for our, you know, our white nurses, and our white nurses were tending to some, you know, black slobs who had been veterans. And isn't this just terrible? We can't have this situation. We have to have a school where we have black nurses so that the black nurses can tend to these slovenly black veterans. And that was his way of getting a black school for nurses.
Wow. How do you think that someone of his morality was able to deal with the political end of things, with the fact that you might get what you want, but it might not come how you wanted it to?
Justice Marshall was a seasoned politician. One of the things that was so extraordinary about him, he had seen so much. Remember, this is a man who had been a lawyer who had represented common criminals. He was bookish. He was very well-read, but he also knew the street. He had really had a good grasp of human activity, human endeavor, in all of its various dimensions. And that's one of the things that made him a very distinctive person and a very effective jurist.
We've talked about him personally. We've talked about some of the elements that went into his legal style and dealing with politics. But I have to end by asking you a very personal question. Did he call you a knucklehead like he did his other clerks?
He certainly did. He called all of his clerks knuckleheads, but he did so with affection.
Harvard Law Professor Randall Kennedy, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Professor Kennedy clerked for Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall in 1983.